This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the February 1st edition of Invest Talk. So January's over, and a very good January. The last few days were not so good, but overall I had a very good January. And this is all about above-average investing for the average investor. And so how do we become better at what we're doing? Now, that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to make more and more money. You should, but it doesn't necessarily mean that. And I'm going to get into more particulars about behavior investing there in a bit. But I try to stay above the medium hype. The media is just crazy. Do you ever notice they always look for a reason why the market goes down or the market goes up? If the market goes down or market goes up in a day, and if it happens to be bigger than normal, they got to find a reason when there really is no reason. So I'm trying to give you some perspective about what's going on, what the market is. Maybe a wider view might be a better description of what I'm trying to do. Now, if you don't know him, let me introduce you to George Soros. Most people have heard of him. George Soros is a Hungarian-American investor, businessman, multi-billionaire. He's a philanthropist, a political activist, and a writer, an author. He's one of the world's most successful investors. Okay, George Soros. I'm not talking about his politics. We're not going into politics here. I'm just talking about him as an investor. I want to quote him, because he has something to say that may be important to you and may ring a bell. He said, "It's not whether you're right or wrong that's important, but how much money you make when you're right and how much money you lose when you're wrong. Keeping your gains and losing less. That's what's important. Because you're going to make wrong decisions. Stocks are going to go down. Stocks you buy are going to go down. Stocks go up and down. Okay? So we're going to try to do the right thing. Keep you on the course. Reduce your mistakes. Try to make them smaller if possible. Sometimes you can't. You can't. Sometimes a stock crashes overnight. It opens up half of what you bought it for. You can't avoid that. That's going to happen to you. So, how do you, make right decisions that give you more money and your wrong decisions that cut your losses? That's really important. So let's talk about that. What do you want to talk about? You first, not me. Now, can I help you with maybe some better choices? Right now, let's pick a question. We try to answer your questions live during the hour, 4 to 5 Pacific time. Or you can leave another question on our 24-hour listening line, like this one, 888-99-CHART.
Hey, guys, I love your show. It's John from Phoenix. I have a question. I have a variable universal life policy that I'm trying to sell. There's no surrender charge on it, but when I look at the mutual funds, there are 8 of them that are in the policy. The company that provides the policy told me that they only sell those mutual funds specifically to that insurance company. So when I try to look it up online, they don't actually have any data anywhere on it. All I can see is the data for the day that is currently being in progress. So I never know when to sell and when a good time is to sell. So I don't know if I should just take it all off the table now and invest it in something else. So I don't know. Thank you very much. I'd like to hear your input.
Okay, you take it all off now. What they're telling you is those are, sounds like to me, private mutual funds, not publicly traded out there, and so you can't track them or anything else. I would get rid of them. I'd be out of that in a heartbeat. I don't like universal life policies or whole life policies. I do like term life policies. But I would, if you want to get out, there's no surrender charge. Remember, people, there are sometimes charges for that. You got to find out. Make sure there's no, ask them about any tax consequences. Is there any tax consequence selling those things? But I generally just get out and go invest in something you want to invest in. That's what I would do. 888-99-CHART. Yesterday we talked a little bit about technical analysis. That's a method of evaluating securities by analyzing statistics generated by the market activity. And that is a complicated way of saying you're looking at a chart of the movement of the stock price. Okay? So looking at, when you get deeper into it, you're looking at volume, you're looking at velocity, you're looking at, you know, all kinds of things. I can get into it, MACD, I can get into all the different variety of things you can put on it, moving averages, accumulation, distribution, all those things. But you're just analyzing the stock movement. That's what technical analysis is. Would you like a couple of more of those indicators that I've just talked about? How about on-balance volume? You ever heard of that? On-balance volume. It's a momentum indicator that provides a running total volume and shows whether this volume is flowing in or out of a given stock. How about money flow? Money flow, used as a measure of strength of money going in or out of a security. It, you use it really for a reversal in trend. And that ranges from 0 to 100 on money flow. How about stochastic oscillator, another momentum indicator. It compares a security's closing price to its price range over a given time period. You pick the time period. In theory, in an upward trending market, prices tend to close near their highs, and during a downtrend, they tend to be closed near their lows, oscillating. See how complex this can get and get really into the weeds. And what you got to be aware of and guard against is you can get so much into the weeds about all the different indicators, you don't ever step back and say, wait a minute, you know, what's really happening here? You get so entrenched, you know, I've done this in the past, where you're just watching every little move and every little indicator and you're making decisions and you're losing the big picture. Don't ever lose the big picture. Remember, what are you trying to do as an investor? You're trying to maximize your gains and minimize your losses. Therefore, you need to understand how markets work. How they work. Not just how charts move and fundamentals of the company are. There's different things how the markets work besides just those. Now, do you have questions about technical analysis or fundamental analysis? I want you to feel free to ask. Today, we're going to talk to millennials and anyone who knows one. It's should you go Roth or regular? That's our main talking point today. Plus, I have some others I want to discuss. How about are you seeing a touch of reality hit the market the last few days in stocks? Are you seeing that? Or are investors too greedy for the stock market to sell off? Are we seeing that? Well, we're going to talk about that. I also want to talk about income and spending. And if possible, I want to also get to how do you get to $1 million in your 401k? How do you do it? How long will it take? I'm not talking about, well, invest and then invest and then. I'm just talking about in general with market returns, general market returns, how long will it take you to get to $1 million? Now, I talked earlier this week about people having $1 million in their 401k and then spending foolishly because they have $1 million and they think they made it. But how long does it take to get there? The market was mixed today. The Dow ended up 37 points. The NASDAQ down 26 points. And the broader market S&P 500 down 2 points. So it's kind of a down day, but not very much. Not, you know, nothing to get you too excited about. At least I don't think so. I don't think that's something we need to worry about. So that's what happened today. You know, you had the State of the Union address the other day. You had the Federal Reserve meeting and leaving the interest rates alone. And now we're having lots of earnings out. And earnings look pretty good so far. That's come out this week. And my concern is I don't think people are paying too close to earnings and fundamentals. It's a momentum. We are now in a momentum market. And that's what we're riding, momentum. This is Invest Talk. I'm Steve Peasley. Quiz time, everybody. What unique characteristics do income stocks have? The simple answer is that they pay higher than average dividends. But how do you know they're reliable? Will they hold their value? Need him building an income portfolio? So do you need them to build an income portfolio? Well, I think you do. Check in now. We'll talk about it. 888-99-CHART is how you get through to Invest Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Patrick from DeKalb, Illinois, calling about Travel Centers of America, symbol TA. I recently was doing some stock screening. This one came up to be fairly cheap when it comes to price to book and some other ratios that I look at. And I'm just calling to see your opinion as to what you think about this. I'm trying to find a company of value for the long term. Thank you, and I love the show. Bye-bye.
It's hard for me to tell you that there is a value stock when it's a micro cap. And this is this Travelers Centers of America, TA, is $167 million in market cap, which is very small. So when you talk about a value, well, you could say it has value, but these tiny companies tend to go out of business. And this company is extremely erratic in its earnings. For instance, it made 72 cents in 2015, 72 cents a share. That's pretty good. The year before, it was $1.62. Okay, in 2014. 2016, it lost a nickel a share. 2017, last year, it made 69 cents. Pretty good. This year, it's going to lose 6 cents. Pretty bad. I cannot describe that as a value company. Now, the stock is selling for $4.25 based on 2017's earnings of 69 cents a share. Man, that's cheap. But how cheap is it when you base it on next year's earnings at losing 6 cents a share? Man, that's expensive. You see, you can't call it. When you're looking at a value stock, it's got to be consistently earning money. That's one of the things, all stocks, consistently earning money. And hopefully growing those earnings. You can't say that about Travel Centers. I wouldn't buy this stock. Too erratic. Lots of debt. Now, management owns 9%. That's good. Funds are slowly buying it. Don't have too many funds. Funds can't really buy these small kinds of stocks. They really have trouble buying it because it's too small. So, now, sales are increasing, but no, I wouldn't buy this stock, and I wouldn't describe it as value either. Okay, and that symbol is TA, everybody. TA. 888-99-CHARTER is our number, 888-992-4278. Yesterday, I wanted to talk about income and spending in December and how that compared with November, and I do definitely want to get to that before the end of the hour today, because I think it's instructive. I really do. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. It's more than just a quiz. Our free risk analysis is the first step to finding out if your portfolio actually matches your risk tolerance. And so it's just answering some questions. It's there for you on investtalk.com. Very easy. I'm here for you too now. Bring your questions to me. Let's try to work out an answer. 888-99-CHARTER is how you reach me right now. Chart. Let's go to James in Sonoma. How you doing, James?
Well, I'm doing fine today. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Appreciate the call. Thank you.
I'm here today to talk about PIMIX. It's an institutional PIMCO fund, and I'm transitioning out of stocks to bonds because I'm overweight in stocks, and you and I are the same age. Okay. I want to see what you think about something like this. The thing I like about it is it's almost like an annuity. It pays the same thing every single time. It's got a long history of doing it. What's your opinion of something like this?
Well, this is PIMCO Income Institutional, and it is a very good fund. It is a good fund. It does have a pretty high pays about 5% year over year. Has no load, which I like. It's a big fund at $107 billion. It's mostly, it has a lot of U.S. treasuries And their main focus is producing income, and they've been very good at doing that over the years. So now they do use leverage. And that's one of the things I'm a little concerned about, James. In other words, for instance, you know, what percent of bonds do they own? 152%. Well, that means they borrow money some way, shape, or form to get that kind of return. Well,
yeah.
That's okay. I'm not, you know, I mean, that's okay because they've been very successful. Maybe they're smart enough not to avoid the next big downturn, you know. I take a look at 2008, and you'll see they did poorly then for a bond fund. But ever since then, they've been gangbusters, James. So I think the market's still going to do well. So I think they'll do well.
Okay, the reason I was asking is because of that, the fact they were used leverage. But I'm looking for something again. I'm selling stocks a little bit now because I've made a profit, and I'm getting to that retirement age where I need to be more in fixed income. And as much as I try and get into fixed income, the stock market jumps up, and I'm still out of whack.
Yeah, isn't that funny? But it's a good problem, James. Good problem to have. We have what we call a balanced income portfolio, where I buy 50% of the portfolio in bonds and 50% high dividend paying blue chip type stocks. And the bonds I ladder, and we don't use any leverage. And we're getting about 4% from the bond side. So, and we ladder them out to about 5 years. For a fairly conservative portfolio, that's about as best as you're going to do, okay, in this environment. With interest rates rising, you don't want to go out too far, and you want to ladder the bonds, you know, over the next few years. And that you could do yourself. Buying a bond fund is a little bit riskier because it trades at net asset value. You'll get the income, but the net asset value will go down if interest rates rise. So you got to be careful about that. If you own the bonds your own self, James, the same thing will happen, but you know owning the bonds, you'll go back to par eventually.
Yeah.
So you'll get your money back. So, you know, if you want to talk about it more, just give me a call in the office and we can discuss it. It's kind of hard to talk about in detail on radio. But you are doing the right thing, James. You are doing the right thing.
All right. Thank you for your input.
Thanks for the call. Thanks, James. Appreciate the call. Yeah, at a certain age, everybody, you just need to ratchet down the risk. And in this current market, I think it's a smart thing to do to ratchet down the risk in your portfolio. And that means different things to different people. You know, for young people, you don't want to ratchet down, really. For us older guys, women, yeah, you kind of want to ratchet down a little bit. We don't have 20, 30 years to make it up if something disastrous happens. We don't have that. You younger people have plenty of time. And so that's all I'm talking about, really. Time left. Okay, income and spending in December. Okay, income went up 0.4%. They expected it to go up 0.3%. And the month before, in November, it was up 0.3%. Spending was up 0.4%. They expected it to be up 0.8%. And it was 0.5% the month before. So spending went down, income went up a tick. Spending's at a six-year high, though. Don't think it's just going to went down that 1 month. Savings is at a 12-year low, savings. So that's a problem. Inflation dipped to 1.7% from 1.8% for the same period, year over year, by the way. So inflation is not a problem, but all the Federal Reserve, you know, they're worried about it. They're concerned. They have, you know, I do too. I think that's your big danger, is probably for 2008, inflation picking up. Everybody's going to be watching that. And remember, the Federal Reserve looks at the PCE much more than the CPI, Consumer Price Index, and PPI, Producer Price Index. They look at they look at a little different statistics, but we all can see inflation in the various numbers. And I think that's what they're looking out for. They're expecting it to pick up. Coming up on the next Invest Talk, 2018, the year the bond market runs out of gas. It's because it's been doing well for a number of years. Let's dig into that opinion. Does it hold water? That's one of our topics on the next Invest Talk. But for right now, we want to hear your talking point. My direct line between 4 and 5 Pacific Time is 888-99-CHART.
Our podcast continues now. First, a couple of words for KPP Financial. We make many money choices, of course, and we try to be objective, look at the facts, look at our life situation. Some people choose to work with a registered investment advisor to help them in this pursuit, and one of the most important reasons is to be defensive, keeping risk at a minimum. It's not only the way to share, it's not only a way to share the worry, it becomes a practical matter. A professional advisor has the resources and the experience. They study the market. They anticipate what might happen. For more than 20 years, KPP Financial has been serving clients all across America, and they're accessible, responsive, and maybe most important, the KPP principals invest right along with their clients. Parallel investing. To find out more about it and their programs, go to investtalk.com, click on the investment tab. Now let's continue with the podcast. This is InvestTalk. A lot of talk about cryptocurrencies. Have you heard? Credit card firms are charging fees for buying cryptocurrency, and the new tax law will have its impact on the new currency, too. Want to talk to Steve about it? He's on the line, 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. Let's talk to Art in Menlo Park. How you doing, Art?
Good, Steve. How are you today?
I'm good. Thanks for the call. Hey, appreciate it.
I just wanted to get your thoughts on applied electro. What is it? Optoelectronics. And I was thinking about purchasing some, hopefully in the low 30s. And looks like it might be holding this action for the last week or two.
So yeah, it looks like support. Okay. It does look like support in here. Applied Optoelectronics, everybody. It's a $649 million company, so it's a pretty small market cap company. Almost micro, but not quite micro. I always consider under $500 million micro. It's been a pretty consistent earner over the years. It makes money. Ever since 2013, every year it's made money and generally have gone up, even though it's going to fall a little bit this year from last year. Had a very, very good last year. It might be because it bought something, but it made $4.55 last year from $1.39 the year before. And this year it's going to make $3.44. So it doesn't have a lot of debt. Manufactures fiber optic network products for the cable TV, fiber to home, and data centers, center markets. It's out of Sugar Land, Texas. They're growing their sales 25 to 100% per quarter the last four or five quarters. So they have never, they have one quarter of growth of 11% almost 2 years ago. Other than that, everything's been 20, 30% or higher. So they're growing pretty fast. If they're going to make $3.44 next year, it's a $33 stock, so it's a 10 PE. That's pretty good. Return equity is a little low at 13%. That's still good, but just not the greatest. Management owns 8%. That's very good. And mutual funds are buyers, and they own almost half the company right now. So this is a good buy point, Art, if it can hold this $33 area, $33, $34 area. It looks like it. Might. I would wait till it breaks above maybe the, 20-day moving average, which is $35, because it hasn't broken above there in a while. And when it breaks above there, that'd probably be a buy signal for me, Art. Okay?
Okay.
AAOI is the symbol. Thanks, Art. AAOI is the symbol, everybody. AAOI. Okay, let's see. I want to get to our main talking point today, which I did not do, and my computer's slowed down. Let's go to are you seeing a touch of reality in stocks? Now, I'm saying there's Not a lot yet. Not a lot. I mean, we're just seeing the market kind of get back a little bit of some of the gains. But are we really seeing a touch of reality? Maybe just the beginnings. Now, the problem we have is, if you're going to, we could talk about some statistics. Right now, the market is four standard deviations above the 52-week mean, the S&P 500. That is extremely high. Never, hasn't happened since 1981. Four standard deviations above the 52-week mean. And TD Ameritrade says the cash levels that they have in their clients' accounts is at historic lows. What that tells me is most of the money that was going to come into the market is already in the market. And being four standard deviations above the 52-week average mean tells me that it's going to revert to the mean eventually, someday. But how? When? And I can tell you, well, does the stock market go down? It doesn't have to go down because it can go sideways for sometimes, for a while. It goes sideways 6 months, a year, which happened for 20 months in, 2015 to 16. 20 months it went sideways. You know, so it could go sideways and there get rid of that, you know, being a four times above the standard deviation of 52-week average. It's that it can do it that way. So don't think it just has to crash. So the odds are you're going to have a lot more volatility because of this. Volatility means up and down. And you probably are going to shake out that huge four times above the average deviation. That's going to get rid of somehow. Maybe not this year, maybe next year. I can't tell you when. This is always the problem in the market. I can tell you when something is stretched. I can tell you when it's stretched too high, too low, and I can tell you when it's really out of whack, but I can't tell you when it will finally revert to its norm. That I can't tell you. I can just tell you what's wrong, and it will correct. I just can't. No one can tell you that. Anybody says they can, they're lying. They're lying. Can't do it. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. We're going to talk about, should a millennial buy a Roth or a regular IRA? I want to get to that before the end of the show. I got a couple more talking points before the end of the show. But first, let's get back to the 24-hour listener line, 888-99-CHART. Someone wants to talk about Ford.
Hi, Steve. This is Eric from Florida. I had a question regarding Ford stock ticker F. I've been following it, and it looks like it's a good valued stock, but I just don't understand why it keeps going down. It looks like the dividends are really paying well right now. But anyway, I was just wanting to get your opinion on how the financials look for Ford stock and if you think it's a good buy right now. Thank you. Bye.
I never was a champion of the auto stocks, autos and airplanes. I've never been a big, huge fan of that area. One of the reasons for the auto stocks and airplane stocks was the number of unions they had to deal with. But also, auto stocks borrow tons of money and seem to pay a high dividend even though they owe a lot of money. And I never understood that. Ford Motor Corporation, everybody knows who they are. It's a $43 billion company, big blue chip stock. Sales are slowly rising. Earnings are going to go down 10% this year, another 4% next year to $1.55. The PE is very low at 6. 5-year range is 5 to 14. Auto stocks generally trade at a low PE ratio. There's one exception, and that's Tesla. They don't have a PE because they have no E, no earnings. But return on equity is pretty high at 22%, and the stock has been crushed from $13 down to $10.92 or so. And their dividend is at 5.5% at this point. So it makes it very attractive. They have, I think we talked about this the other day, and I said that, you know, they have a very strong support at $10.20 to $10.40. So I see no problems with buying it now if you're buying it for the dividend. They probably will maintain the dividend. They have really great cash flow, $3.99 a stock for a stock trade at $10.92. That's pretty darn strong. So I think they will maintain it, even though they have high debt. They always have high debt. So I would wait till it trades sideways. It's still falling. Wait till you give yourself a time when it breaks up, you know, breaks this downward pattern, and maybe moves up a few days or week. Then buy it. You know, yeah. The reason being is I can't tell you that's when it will start to move back up consistently. I can't say that, but I can say you have a higher chance of that happening when you buy it when it starts to happen. You buy it now, you're trying to buy a falling knife with little, real sharp edges. It's still falling. Why would you try to grab it? Wait till it hits the ground, stops rattling around, then you pick up that dang knife. Don't try to catch it while it's falling, and that's what's happening in Ford right now. But I think it is something, if you're a dividend investor, they're going to maintain that dividend unless something dramatic happens, and I don't see that. If you have a question on our talking point today, there's a link to a related article on our website, by the way, if you want. And our main talking point is going to be, does a millennial, should he buy a Roth or a regular, should he invest in a Roth or a regular IRA? So you can see a related article there. Just go to investtalk.com and click on Got a Question on investtalk.com.
Another benefit to joining our InvestTalk Insiders is that you have the key to a whole library of recorded webinars. The latest one on global investing is ready to play anytime. There are 11 in all. To become an InvestTalk Insider, just go to investtalk.com. No investment required. It's free. This is InvestTalk. Check in now with your question. 888-99-CHART.
888-99-CHART. Okay, Roth, should a millennial buy a Roth or a regular IRA? Now, maybe we should first define the difference. A regular or standard IRA or a rollover IRA, there's different names for the IRA. That IRA, you put money in there, and whatever you put in there, you get to deduct that from that year's income from your income tax. So you can put $5,000 in, and then you don't have to pay income tax on $5,000. A Roth, you do pay after tax. You pay income tax on the money you put in a Roth. So, but the difference is a regular IRA and a Roth IRA both can grow, right, over the years. When you start taking money in retirement out of your regular IRA, you have to add that to your income tax gross income that year and pay income tax on all that growth as you take it out in a regular IRA. In a Roth, you never, ever have to pay income tax on any of the money you take out. Any of the growth, nothing, zero, nada. That's the difference. So, the longer a Roth grows, to me, more attractive it is. Therefore, the younger you are, the more I'd like to see you make sure you have a Roth IRA. I do like the regular IRA too, but you know, the younger you are, I would like to see the Roth first. Mostly because the younger you are, you're making less money, therefore your tax bracket is less, and therefore you don't really need the tax break. The older you are, you need every tax break you can get because hopefully you're earning more money and you're now, you know, in the high tax bracket ranges. Therefore, you need a tax break. See how that works? In my mind, and I, you know, the truth is, statistically, it may not be much difference. Statistically, Roth regular IRA may not, but I still prefer the Roth if you're young. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. We're going to go talk to David in San Diego. How you doing, David?
Good. How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for the call.
My question is, I mean, I've learned quite a bit on your podcast, and I love them and everything. I just was wondering, if, do you have any other, classes someone who takes that's really starting off in investing that can take to learn the terminology, maybe books to read?
Yeah, I do. We do webinars. We have them posted if you're an InvestTalk Insider, and all you, to become an InvestTalk Insider, all you do is sign up and put your email in, and that's it. You're an insider. And then you can see all the seminars. Some of them might be over your head, though, David, if you're new. My book, Above Average Investing for the Average Investor, is a beginner book. There's a number of beginner books out there. Any book that's written One Up on Wall Street is a very good book for beginners. Beating the Street is very good for the beginner. And we have a book list on our website. For a beginner, do not read The Wealth of Nations. Do not read The Intelligent Investor by Ben Graham. There are certain books don't read because they're way, way over your head. Okay, but there's some beginner books there that would help you.
Okay, great. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thanks, David. I appreciate the call. If you send me an email, I'll be happy to send you the titles if you can't remember them. So just go to investtalk.com and send me an email, and I will answer you. Let's go to Ray in San Francisco. I want to talk about Bank of America. How you doing, Ray?
Hi, Steve. I've been looking at Bank of America for a while, and it keeps going up. Is it too late to get in at this point?
I'm going to say no. It's not too late, but I think gonna have to wait for a pullback. I realize it hasn't pulled back. The last minor pullback was in November and December, middle of November up till December. And that was about 3 to 5% pullback. And
right.
Any kind of that kind of pullback, so it's at 32.50 now. So if it pulls back to about 30, I would definitely buy it. Okay. But I hate chasing performance, and that's what you're doing here. And it is a little expensive for Bank of America, but I do think with the economy strong and everything strong, Ray, I still think it's got legs to go. I think it's still going to go higher. I do. I like Bank of America, one of the better ones. I do. Thank you, Ray. I appreciate the call. The idea is to invest in knowledge before you invest your dollars. So we're here to help you with that. Check in at 888-99-CHART. That's our direct line with any money questions. Oh, okay, let's go to Monica in Menlo Park. Wants to talk about Baidu. How you doing, Monica?
Good. So I have some positioning in there already, but I was thinking about adding more. What do you think about it?
Okay, adding more to Baidu. Let's take a look. Baidu, everybody, is the Chinese provider of internet search, the Google of China, Baidu. It's traded on our exchange under an ADR, symbol BIDU. So it makes money by just the same thing as Google, targeted advertising and internet content services, that kind of thing. It is an $83 billion company. It's big. Okay, it's going to make $9.42 a share for 2017, and then in 2018, $9.62 a share. It's a $240 stock, so it's not cheap. excuse me, but it's not also expensive. If you want to, go to Google. This Baidu's selling 27 times earnings. What is Google selling? 33. So is Baidu cheaper? Which one has better growth prospects, Baidu or Google? So I'm tagging back and forth to give an idea. It looks like Google has better growth prospects than Baidu. It's been more consistent, at least. But Baidu's starting to move pretty high. If you're going to buy more, Monica, first determine if you don't want to overload on any one stock ever. Okay, I don't care how good it is. If it holds the $230 range, because that's a lot of support, $225 to $230, then if it holds that, doesn't fall below that, then you can buy more. But I'd wait to see if it goes sideways. Okay?
Okay.
Appreciate the call. Thank you, Monica. Wayne, thank you. Wayne in San Jose. How you doing, Wayne?
Hi, Steve. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for the call.
I have a question about crude oil. What did you see crude oil trading in 2018?
I think it's going to stay pretty much in this range that it is now. You know, $50, $60 a barrel might spike up and might spike down. And the reason being is, just yesterday I read that the U.S. may surpass Saudi Arabia in oil production. Saudi Arabia and some of the OPEC countries have cut production, trying to get the price up, and they're going to. And Saudi Arabia is going to stop cutting production probably this year. In other words, start ramping up again. So you do have more worldwide demand going for oil, but you also have more worldwide supply coming online. So I think it's probably going to equal out a little bit. I don't see oil falling. I don't see it going up much either. I think it's going to stay about where it is. Okay.
So right now, about $66. Yeah.
It might go down to 50, and it might go up to 70, but I think it's going to stay in that range.
So between 55
Thanks,
and 70 for 2018.
I think so. It might spike up higher or below, but it won't stay there. I think it's going to be in that range. Let's go to Hemet in Castro Valley. How you doing, Hemet?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Steve, quick question related to leveraged 3X ETFs. So I understand that for like leveraged ETF related to volatility VIX or something, you should not be holding that for more than a few days because it will always keep going down. But for
other leveraged ETFs,
you know, which are not related to volatility, but are tracking more of like other indexes, is it okay to just keep holding them if they, or are they calculated in the same way?
I know the VIX, the volatility index, ETFs don't work very well because they always go down the way they're constructed. And so the leverage ones, I wouldn't buy the non-leverage or the leverage ones that are tracking the VIX. Other ETFs that are tracking sectors or stocks or indexes, yeah, you can hold those things. If they own the underlying stock, I feel much more comfortable with those than if they don't own anything, but they have agreements with parties to try to leverage and track an underlying index. Now remember, if it's an S&P 500 ETF, but it's a two times, like the direction funds are, two times the S&P 500, how do they achieve that? They achieve that by having agreements with counterparties that they will give those kinds of returns. They don't actually own underlying stocks, and I don't feel comfortable with that. You've got to own the stocks. Time to go. Appreciate the call. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. I thank you for spending the time with me today. Justin Klein and the whole KPP family want to thank you. And let's meet again tomorrow.